Good morning, Champion Forest. I am so excited to introduce across all of our campuses a brand new series we're beginning today that we're calling Promise Keeper. From the beginning of time, God has made certain promises to his people. These are promises to provide and protect, to save and to restore, to give strength or rest to. It's estimated by some scholars that there are over 8,000 promises in the Bible. Just think about that for a moment. 8,000 promises God has given his people to assure us of his love, to remind us of his faithfulness, and to infuse us with hope when we need it the most. The Bible overflows with God's promises. And it's in this series that we will reflect on some of the most significant and favorite promises of Scripture. As we do each summer, we'll rotate many of our pastors around to our different campuses, allowing you to hear from a different voice and perhaps get a little bit different perspective than you would normally hear at your campus each week. It's going to be a great summer, and this is going to be a great series where we're going to highlight, even more than the promise, though, is the promise keeper. Our God is the one who keeps his word and is committed to accomplishing his will and purposes. So grab your Bible, get ready to take notes. This is going to be an incredible series, and it begins today. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we welcome you into this place. Thank you for allowing us to worship you as we have today. And now, as the teaching of your word goes forward, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, you just heard that this summer we're looking at the different promises of God throughout Scripture, promises that God has made to those who follow after him. So this should be an encouraging series for each one of us as we lean in throughout the summer. I'm excited about it. I hope that you guys are as well. Now, you know where we're going, and so that's probably going to influence your thoughts right now, your answers to this question, but just think about it for a minute. If you could go to somebody and be 100% sure that they were going to make good on their promise to you, what are some things that you would ask them to promise you? Just think about that, right? What would you have them promise you? I asked a few people that over the course of this week just to sort of see where the answers were. Now, they didn't have the advantage that you might have of knowing where we're going in the series, and so their answers were sort of more in the I don't know how to put it. I'll just let you sort of think about how their answers were. One of the first people that I asked said money, right? Man, I want them to promise me some money, right? They just think that would help them in their day-to-day life, and I totally get it. Somebody said if they could have any promise granted to them, that they would ask someone to promise them good friendship. Right? Good relationships. That's a need we all have, relationships in our lives. One of the people that I asked this week said they would ask for the promise of unlimited Dairy Queen blizzards. I asked across all ages, as you can see here, right? But there's so many different things that people said. Some of the teachers in the room said they would like a vacation coming off of the school year, and I totally get it. And listen, all of these answers, they're front of mind things, right? They're things that the people answering the questions assumed would bring immediate improvement to their day-to-day lives. And in some way, they're true, right? Dairy Queen always brings that immediate improvement to the day-to-day life. I get it. But this morning, we're going to look at a promise that I believe has a far greater impact on our daily lives. God promises us in his word that we can have peace in our minds and in our hearts. And he doesn't only promise that we can have it. God says that his peace will stand guard at the door around our minds and our hearts so that the worries of this world cannot bring us into a state of anxiousness. How amazing is that? Right? Did you know that is a promise available to you as a follower of Jesus? If you've got your Bible, open with me to Philippians chapter 4, and I just want you to begin thinking with me this morning about how your daily life changes as you trust in and embrace this promise of peace, right? That the constant worry that you might wrestle with, the unsettled mind or spirit that you sometimes have, according to God's promise here, and that is banished from your life. And it cannot break back in. Why? Because God is guarding the door. It's an amazing promise. I'm thankful for it. And looking at the state of our world, I know that our souls, that our minds, that our hearts, that we need peace. A study from just a couple years ago that 65% of Americans in North America take some kind of medication to help them with stress, anxiety, or worry. Kids too, by the way. I referenced a book a few months ago called The Anxious Generation. Fascinating read, parents and grandparents, to look at childhood and our kids and our teenagers, but they highlight just the unsettledness of people living in our world and culture today. Among teenagers, anxiety, and teenagers and kids, by the way, elementary school, anxiety's up over 150%, and young adults, 140%, newlyweds, 100%, and in senior and middle-aged adults, over 50% in just the last couple of years. So as we think about promises that are going to have an impact on our day-to-day life, to say that peace in the minds and hearts of our people wouldn't be a welcomed change, it's to ignore an internal struggle that many people are facing right now. 40 million Americans in the U.S. today, adults, would say that their life is characterized by anxiety. Right? The word anxious means to be pulled in different directions. The word worry means to, it comes from a word that means to choke or strangle, and that's a picture of what's going on in the hearts and minds of a lot of people. That is the opposite of peace. So this morning, I want to dive into God's promise of peace, and my prayer is that the peace of God would become the state of our lives. Philippians chapter 4, starting with in verse 6. Let's read it. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I'm not sure if one word stood out more than another in those verses, but my favorite word in there, and the one that jumps off the pages to me, is the word peace, and it's clearly promised to us here. Peace is something we need. We need it in our mind, but we need it in our hearts. Peace is something that we all want, but at the end of the day, we've just seen and heard that peace eludes so many in our culture and so many who live in it. Peace is not a word that a lot of people use to describe their current mental or emotional states. It's not a word that many use to describe their lives. But these verses promise us here that peace is possible, that it's real, and that it is for us. Look at verse 7. We see that even in the midst of the worst, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that it will, not it might, that it will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 9 tells us that the God of peace will be with us. And I don't even have to ask, right? I want that, and I know that you want that as well. But the question is how? Right? How do we take the peace of God off the pages here and allow the peace that we see here to be the reality of our hearts and our minds each and every day? How do we become so filled with the peace of God that it does what it says here, that it surpasses all understanding and that it begins to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? They're great questions. And if we look in Philippians 4 again, we're going to notice something, that there's three commands here. There's three things that God instructs us to do, and as we walk them out, as we live according to these commands, that the end result is the promise of the peace that we all want and all need. So let's look at those commands, right? To live in peace, number one, the first command, and it's right at the beginning of verse 6, is don't worry about anything. Right? If you want peace in your mind and heart, then don't worry about anything. And a lot of you, I can see it. The lights aren't that bright. You just rolled your eyes at me. Let me explain, okay? Because every time I hear the phrase, I think of the Lion King, Hakuna Matata. You know the song? Means no worries. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to sing it this morning. That's just where my mind goes. But that's the first command here. Verse 6, don't be anxious about anything. Paul is the writer here. He's writing a letter to the church in Philippi, and he says, don't be anxious, don't worry. He says, settle down. He says, stop letting the concerns of this world take over in your mind and in your heart. He says that we should not live in a state of worry. Now, this verse is written in the present tense. He's saying, if constant worry is your pattern, he's saying, stop doing what you are already in the habit of doing. And so for me and you today, as we read this in the present tense, God's word is saying, he's saying, hey, listen, if anxious thoughts or a worrisome spirit, right, are the pattern of your life, stop it, right? Stop doing and living the way that you are currently living. Now understand this, he's not saying that in times of trouble or emergency to ignore it. He's not saying to see a problem, be like, oh, Bible says not to worry, so I'm not going to worry about that problem. That's not what's going on here. Our bodies are wired to respond to issues and problems, right? You've heard of adrenaline kick in. You've heard of the flight or fight mode. You've heard of those stories where, you know, a mom sees their kid in trouble and all of a sudden she has that supernatural strength to lift a car up off of her kid or something. When we read don't worry, that's not to the mother that sees a dangerous situation and she's not supposed to worry about it. No, our bodies are wired away. Address the problem. Address the issue. Get in there and do it. But then don't live in that state of alarm. Don't live in that constant environment of stress. Don't live in that fight or flight mode. Don't live worrying about the next thing that's going to happen that you have to jump in and address. To constantly worry is to live as if God isn't really in control. To constantly worry is to doubt the goodness of God, the plans of God, the power of God. And as we read here, and other places in the Bible, we're told not to worry. It is a command of Scripture for us, so we shouldn't worry in a sinful way any more than we should gossip or envy or covet or commit sexual sin, right? Paul is telling us here in the Word of God, do not worry. It's not good for us and it's not right. You might think, this is too simple. Maybe you would think that Paul, our writer here, that he just wouldn't understand today's worries. Maybe you would think that he wouldn't understand the heavy burdens that you carry day in and day out. You might think that your situation is unique and it puts you in a different category where you're allowed to worry or live in that constant state of worry, even though Scripture is telling us not to. Let me give you some context about Paul and Paul's life, just so you can have a little bit of backstory about who he is and the state that he writes this in. Paul was actually writing this letter to this church family from a prison. And in this prison, you can read the rest of the letter and you'll see it's clear to him. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die in this prison. He doesn't know if he's near the end or if at one point he's going to be released. That's where the letter is coming from. But if you just look at the past few years of his life before that, we know that Paul's been threatened. He's been beaten. He's been run out of many cities for sharing the good news of Jesus with the people in the cities that he has visited. He's been hated by many for his faith. Paul wrestles with this past, right? But before he knew Jesus, Paul did a lot of things that ended the lives of many, that ruined the lives of many, that destroyed several families in the ancient world. He had a past that he had to wrestle with and reconcile with day in and day out. Around every turn, there was someone that wanted to see him killed. Listen, if there was anyone that lived what we would call a high-stress life, a high-trouble life, a life that could be defined by worry and stress, then it's him. But he wrote this. He said, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. He understood that constant worry, that it doesn't solve our problems. It only creates more. If you look at what worry does to a person, man, messes with our hearts, it messes with our blood pressure, messes with our health, tension, nausea, shortness of breath, so many things going on. Why? Because that worry is like a weight. We just carry it around, no one can see it, but man, we feel it, and it hurts us. It's not doing anything to solve any real issues of our lives. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart. Look what Jesus says about it in Matthew 6. We looked at Matthew 6 a few months ago. Matthew 6:25. It says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Jesus tells us here, don't worry. He says it's not going to solve the problem. Constant worry is the opposite of trusting God to be God. So as Paul writes this letter, Philippians, to a local church family made up of believers in Jesus, just like you and me, believers that face daily life, just like you and me, he's quoting Jesus, and he's reminding us that Jesus is with us no matter what we face that might cause us to worry. Look at verse 5 if your Bible's still open, right before this passage started, where I started. Verse 5 tells us that the Lord is near, which literally means that the Lord is close to us. As believers, we understand that God resides inside of us. So you could paraphrase these verses and put them together and just say, listen, don't worry about anything because God is literally with you. Right? Well, whatever it is that has you worked up, but when it finally happens, guess who's going to be there? Hey, God's going to be there right there with you. Think about your life. Think about your week, just day to day, the things that might have you going right now. God's going to be with you when you go to the doctor this week. God's going to be with you when the bills come in. God's going to be with you on that interview. God's going to be with you in that situation that you're navigating with your kids. God's going to be with you when you have that tough conversation with a friend. God's going to be with you as you face what's next in your marriage. Whatever it is that you might be tempted to worry about, Scripture here reminds us that when you face it, you will not be alone. Paul says, don't worry about anything. That's his first command in verse 6. Look at his second command in verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Right? I want you to see this as a replacement. Right? We're replacing the worry with prayer. So the energy and the focus and the attention that you might naturally give to worry, Paul commands us here, replace that time, that energy, replace those thoughts with an intentional conversation with God. That's what prayer is, right? So when the thoughts of worry begin to creep into your mind, creep into your day, creep into your heart, you've got to stop that, like he says here, and then intentionally make the effort to pray. Turn to God there in prayer. Craig Rochelle says, anxiety is a signal alerting you that it is time to pray. We see in these verses that peace comes to us through prayer. And listen, these verses don't just say to pray about the big things, the easy things, or just about the hard things. We're supposed to pray about everything. And I don't want to be dramatic, I don't want to overstate it in any way, but we're never going to understand how major of an impact prayer plays in our lives. Prayer matters to us and to our day-to-day life. It matters to our minds and our hearts way more than we will ever be able to comprehend. Billy Graham, greatest, if not the greatest evangelist ever, said if he could live his life over again, he'd spend more time in prayer. Tim Keller, pastor, author in New York City, man, made an incredible difference for the kingdom of God in New York City. He said in a podcast I listened to one time that if he could go back, he was in his 60s when he said this, if he could go back and tell his 18-year-old self one thing, he'd say, I'd go back and I'd look myself in the eyes when I was 18 years old and say, hey, prayer is going to be way more important in your life than you could ever imagine. Pray more. He didn't say I'd go back to my 18-year-old self and say buy Bitcoin when it comes out or buy Amazon, right? Not financial advice, spiritual advice, peaceful advice. Go to the Lord in prayer. I've quoted D.A. Carson on this before, amazing pastor and author. He says, I have yet to meet a chronic worrier that enjoys an excellent prayer life. When we worry, we make our problems huge. And we make God small. When we worry, it's signaling to us that we're losing perspective and as followers of Jesus, we can't do that. We've got to approach all of these issues in life with this eternal perspective, right? That God's got it, that God is with us. These verses tell us here, stop worrying and instead start praying. And when we do that, well, we flip things back, we flip our perspective back to the way it needs to be, a biblical worldview perspective, an eternal perspective, right? Prayer gets things back in order. It makes God big and our problems small. So pray in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So talk to God about what's going on. Talk to him about your struggles and your challenges. Talk to God about the real and the serious issues that you're facing. And when you do, you're going to break this unhealthy cycle of worry. You'll replace it with conversations with the one that holds you and your problems in his hands. So rather than thinking about what might happen or what we're afraid of in the future, rather than wondering what if, take that energy, take those thoughts, and focus it on God. And that replacement right there changes everything. When we pray, we're reminded how big our God is, and in comparison, just how small our problems really are. God's word commands us to pray about everything. How often are you spending intentional time in prayer? What does your prayer life look like? It matters. We see here that peace comes through prayer, through being in God's presence. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Don't get it backwards. Too many people run around worrying about everything and praying about nothing. Peace is promised when we go before God in prayer. And here's a great definition of prayer. Prayer is a relationship. Right, prayer is engaging back and forth with God. It's talking to him. It's talking with him. Prayer is sharing our heart, sharing our concerns. It's listening to God as God speaks to us. And here's what we need to understand. There's nothing too big, nothing too small. Our verse tells us to pray about everything. When our kids were little, prayer time was really interesting because our kids were honest about whatever was in their minds and hearts, and it came out when we would sit down as a family and pray in the evening, and you never really knew what was going to come out of their mouths. We had nights where they would pray about the different plants in our yard, and they'd name off a lot of the different plants that they were thanking God for. They would thank God for winning a game with their friends. They would thank God for different toys. They used to thank God for America's Funniest Home Videos because that was a fun thing that we did together as a family. They would thank God for random friends or family members that they might have played with on any given day. Last night, we had our prayer time together. Our youngest, his birthday is today. He's turning 8 years old. And so we were praying over him last night. And one of his brothers, as they were praying, thanking God for different things about him, he said, hey, listen, God, thank you that when I hit my brother too hard in the backyard playing football, he doesn't cry and tell on me, but he continues to play the game with us, right? Just different things come out. They pray. They pray for sick family members. You hear them pray for the family members and friends in the last few months and years that have been close to us, that have gotten sick, that have passed away, those that we've lost from accidents. They pray about that. They go before God in it. And when you just sit down and listen to a kid pray, you know what's going on in their minds, you know what's going on in their hearts, and they're trusting it to God to come and do something about it. That they just take it all to him. We don't outgrow that. Right? Are you taking your worries and concerns to God? Or are you letting him weigh you down? And scripture here says pray about everything. And here's what I want you to understand. These verses certainly do not promise that our problems disappear with prayer. But they do promise that when we give our worries or anxieties to God, that we can have peace in the midst of whatever the problems might be. Paul's in prison as he writes this. He's in chains. The people that originally got this letter in Philippi were very poor people, and they were under physical and spiritual attack on an almost daily basis. Understand this morning, God's promises, and you'll see it throughout the series, God's promises aren't necessarily material possessions and earthly treasures. God promises something much deeper, much more important, much greater than that. God promises his peace and his presence. Verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When we do that, when we go before him in prayer, it expresses, it acknowledges to him our dependence on him. We're telling him it's not about us. We can't do this. We need him. It aligns our hearts with his heart. It helps us to understand that at the end of the day, we aren't in control of the things that are bringing anxiety and worry into our lives. And ultimately, God is. Right? And when we pray, the focus comes off of us and onto God. So pray about everything. Think about what that's going to look like for you if that's not currently your pattern. How are you going to do that? How are you going to live out this command of Scripture? If you don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. Right? Just think about it now in the moment. Maybe you're going to wake up earlier. Maybe you'll stay up later. Maybe you'll carve out time in the middle of the day for it. Think about specific, strategic, intentional moments in your day where you can pray. In the car on the way to work, in the car on the way home from work. Carpool line was always a great thing in the school year. Well, with our kids, where we had intentional time to pray. Pray about the things that are on your heart. Write them down. Get a journal. Make a list. Go through it day after day after day, praying about it. And then go back and write in how God is answering those prayers. Or maybe just whenever you start to get a little overwhelmed or worried, just pause in the middle of your day and take it to God and pray. Peace comes when we do what the Bible says, when we worry about nothing and instead replace that worry with prayer and pray about everything. And then finally, we'll see our last command here. Peace comes, number 3, when we think about the right things. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. If there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. See, prayer puts eyes and hearts on Jesus, which is good because that's going to influence and train our minds. What we think matters, and it matters more than we think. If we want peace in our lives, we've got to fill our minds with good things. Look at the verse here. There's a list that we are supposed to think about day in and day out. Things that are honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. Things that are worthy of praise. That is what should be in our minds. Is that what you're filling your mind with? Think about it. Books, music, media, messages, influences, do they reflect this? That should be our minds. I remember hearing an illustration about our thoughts a few years ago. I'm not sure who came up with it, but it goes like this. It's always stuck with me. Think of your mind as an airport, right? Think of all of the thoughts that come into your minds. Think about them as planes. Now, some airports are more busy than others. I get it. And if you didn't get that, your airport's not as busy. Here's the deal. Our minds are the airports. Thoughts are the planes. All kinds of planes are coming to our mind all of the time, and they're coming from all over the place. Thoughts pop up, thoughts pop in, thoughts try to push their way into our mind, they try to land, but at the end of the day, guess what we are? We get to be the air traffic controllers. We determine what thoughts land, what planes touch down, and which ones that we push on and make them keep flying right out of our airspace. So as we think about that, right, knowing what God's word says about our thought life, don't let worrisome thoughts land in your mind. They're going to pop in. We're human. They're going to come around. We live in a fallen world. But when those worrisome thoughts, those stressful thoughts, those anxious thoughts, when they present themselves to your mind, tell them to keep on flying. Don't let them land. Don't let them begin to unload the baggage of stress and worry and anxiety in the airport of your mind. Don't let thoughts of fear and doubt and stress take up space on the runway of your mind, at the gates of your mind. Let them fly through, right on out of your airspace. Make the conscious decision to follow the command of Philippians 4:8. Think about anything worthy of praise. Let those prayer-filled thoughts, praise-filled thoughts land in your mind. Let that be what you dwell on. Let that baggage be unloaded. Let those thoughts fill the airport of your mind. And before long, as you train your mind that way, you're going to see fewer and fewer negative or ungodly thoughts creeping in. To do that, we've got to be godly and wise about what we allow to fill our mind. Paul says it right here. Listen, that's where peace comes from. And it's no secret. We all want peace. We want settled minds and settled hearts. But still, anxiety and worry are major issues in our culture today. But I want you to understand that they were major issues for the people that lived 2,000 years ago too. That the people that this letter was written to, and God loves them and gave them this promise of peace. God loves us and gives us this promise of peace as well. Hope you see in Philippians chapter 4 here that we can have it, right? That God's promise of peace becomes our reality when we worry about nothing, pray about everything, and focus our minds on the right thing. Trust His promise this morning. Let His peace fill your mind and fill your heart. Let His peace guard your heart and guard your mind in a way that keeps the anxieties of this world out. Would you pray with me this morning? As we go to the Lord in prayer, I just want to encourage you to do what we did earlier. Just pray with a spirit of gratitude this morning. Thank God that peace is available in and through Him. If you're at a place this morning where you would say that peace is not your current reality, confess that to Him. Say, God, I'm worried, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, whatever phrase you want to use, and ask Him. Like this verse says, through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Say, God, this is on my mind, this is on my heart. God, step in here and carry this weight so I don't have to. He promises that He will. Ask God for that peace in your mind and peace in your heart. Ask Him to guard your heart and guard your mind with the peace of Christ Jesus. Thank Him this morning for His presence, for His goodness in your life today. And understand this, that peace that we have, man, the starting point, and that starting point for it's our relationship with Him. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to trust Him as Savior and live in the peace that He promises. Just a minute when we dismiss, our prayer room will be open. We'd love to talk with you about that, what it means to trust in Jesus and have His peace. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the promises of Your word. We thank You that You are a promise keeper. God, that You do what You say You're going to do. This morning, Lord, God, I pray that we would look to You for peace in our minds and peace in our hearts. God, for anyone who's here this morning, walking through whatever season they might be in, God, that might just say, my heart is unsettled, my mind is unsettled, I'm worried, I'm fearful, I'm scared. God, if that person's here, Lord, I pray they'd be encouraged by Your promise of peace. God, I pray that they would follow the commands that we see here in Scripture, Lord, to embrace that promise of peace. God, help us to live this out, to worry about nothing, but instead to focus that time and energy on prayer. God, praying about everything. And as we do, God, I pray that our minds would dwell on the right things, knowing that the God of peace is with us. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Force, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our 3 locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforce.org. We'll see you very soon.